All right, Rebbe Oseg, good morning. Let's begin. Our shiur this morning in our shiurim this month are dedicated by Uncle Mike Holtzman, Yashir Klaff, for the monthly sponsorship, the Talmud sponsorship, Shkoyach. So with that, let's begin. New parak. Ha'omer, Mishkali Alai. Very fascinating sugya you have in front of us today. Person says, I hereby pledge my weight to the Beis HaMikdash. It's a good diet motivator, by the way, right? Right? The more you weigh, the more you pay. So says the Mishnah, Omer Mishkali Alai, a person says, I hereby dedicate my weight to the Beis HaMikdash. No sin Mishkalo. He pays his weight. Im Kesef, Kesef. Im Zav, Zav. We'll see what this statement means. If in silver, silver. And if in gold, in gold. Ma'aseh be'ima shel Yermatya. There was a story about the mother of Yermatya. Rashi says, Shem Ha'isha. This is a woman's name. Right? Yermatya was a woman, and her mother one time said, Sha'amar Mishkal Biti Alai. One time her mother said, I pledge the value of my daughter to the Beis HaMikdash. Excuse me, the weight of my daughter to the Beis HaMikdash. Va'osa Yerushalayim. The mother went up to Yerushalayim. V'shakla Mishkal HaZahav. And ultimately, again, she paid the weight of her daughter in gold to the Beis HaMikdash. So we'll see exactly what this story is coming to add. Mishkal Yadi. We'll say, what happens if a person pledges the weight of their arm? Interesting case. Weight of their arm. So obviously the shayla is going to become, how do you assess the weight of your arm? Rabbi Yehuda Omer Memalei Chavis Mayim. Rabbi Yehuda says, you fill up a barrel of water. Umachnisa ad marfiko. Marfiko. And you insert the arm up until the shoulder. So you insert your arm up until the shoulder. Vishokel, and Abbas says, obviously when that happens, you displace a corresponding amount of water. So it's interesting to note here is as follows. Then, that's step one, right? Step one, fill a barrel of water. Step two, insert your arm up until the shoulder in the barrel. Now that you've displaced the water, step three, vishokel mi basr chamar va'atzalmas v'gidim v'nosin l'socha atshet ismalei. Then you go ahead and you take donkey flesh, right? Donkey, a piece of donkey flesh, piece of donkey, the meat together with the bones, the skin, whatever else. You put that in the barrel until ultimately, again, it raises the water level until the point that it was before you inserted your arm. We'll say you then take that piece of donkey meat, that amount of donkey meat, and that is that's the amount that you weigh corresponding to the gold, silver, whatever else. That becomes the weight of your arm. Amr Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi says, V'chi heich echshar l'chavein basar k'neged basar, v'atzamos k'neged atzamos. So it seems that Rabbi Yossi says, but one second, how does that work? Right? How can you be sure that it's the right amount of bone, it's the right amount of flesh? But what essentially Rabbi Yossi is saying is, you can't really be so exact with that. In other words, you're not going to get to an exact weight. Rather, Ella, Shaman es Hayad Kamashiro Yelishko. Rabbi Yossi says, rather, we could just simply assess, right? I guess people who are a bit more skilled in this could assess the weight of the arm by looking at it, by holding it, or as well as essentially what we're going to see, Rabbi Yossi saying is, look, the use of the donkey meat is a guesstimate, right? It's not exact. So once you're using an imprecise mechanism to measure the limb, to measure the weight of the limb, you might as well just go ahead and be imprecise by just looking at it or by just holding it. There's no need to go through this whole water displacement donkey flesh thing. Okay, so machlokes about how to measure the arm, Emir HaTzashem, we'll see in the Gemara. But see, here we go. Sorry. So here we go. My im kesef, kesef. Imzazav. Rabbi Yossi, what is the meaning? What is the meaning of the statement? If it's silver, silver, and if it's gold, gold. Rabbi Yossi, what does that mean? So Amrav Yehuda, Perish, Kesef, Kesef, Perish, Zahav, Zahav. Rabbi Yossi, what it means is as follows. If halacha lemaisa, you articulated silver, then ultimately pay it off in silver. If you've articulated gold, then pay it off in gold. I was about to say, on a very simple level, if you pledged your weight in silver, then you pay it off in silver. If you pledge your weight in gold, you pay it off in gold. To which the Gemara says, Peshitta. So I don't say, why does Mishnah need to teach you that? If I make a neder, and I say, I hereby pledge my weight to the Beis HaMikdash in gold, of course I'm going to pay it in gold. If I say, I pledge my weight in silver, I pay it in silver. Why does the Mishnah have to say this? Hakamash Malon, Taima de Pirish. So the Mishnah is coming to teach me the reason I have to pay in silver or I have to pay in gold is because that is the amount that I have articulated. Ha lo pirish, if you did not articulate it, then pater nafshe b'chaldu. Then Abosai, you could pay off your obligation in whatever material you want. So Abosai, so what the Mishnah is telling me is like this. If I went ahead and I pledged my weight in gold to the Beis HaMikdash, then I have to pay it off in gold or in silver. Anytime I articulate the material in which I'm going to pay off my weight, that's the material I have to use. The chiddush is, let's say I didn't articulate the way, the material. I just said I pledge my weight to the Beis HaMikdash, but I did not articulate what type of material I'm going to pay in. Then the mission, then the novelty is that halacha lemaisa, I could use any material I want. Kirachba, as Rachba said, damarachba, ba'asra detakli kufra, pater nafshe afila b'kufra. But say, if you live in a place where they measure out pitch, right? Where they measure out pitch, ultimately, again, you could pay out your value in pitch. Pitch, obviously, is a very cheap material. So what it's saying is, if halacha lemaisa, you live in a place where they pay, where they go ahead and they measure out pitch by weight, as opposed to by volume, so halacha lemaisa, you could use that to satisfy your neder as well. To which the Gemara says, but again, pshita, is that not obvious? In other words, what's the chiddush in that? Lo tzricha de'ika de'taka ve'ika de'kaya. Because we'll say, for example, kufra, pitch, is an example of something that some people measure out by weight and other people measure out by volume. So what would you have said? Ma'u de'tema kevan de'kulu lo takli lo. I'm going to say that the only thing you could use in satisfaction of this type of neder is something that is exclusively weighed. But something that is sometimes weighed and something that is measured out by volume perhaps should not be usable. Kamash malon, that is not the case, right? Kamash malon, that halacha lemaisa, again, that Rabosa, even something that halacha lemaisa is sometimes weighed and sometimes measured could still be used to satisfy the obligation. So therefore, again, what the Gemara seems to be saying like this is as follows, that halacha lemaisa, if a person makes an explicit neder and they pledge their way to the Beis HaMikdash and they articulate which type of material they're going to use to satisfy that obligation, obviously that's what they have to carry through on. If they make no particular mention of a particular material, they pledge their weight but don't make a mention of their material, you could use anything you want as long as it is something that is normally weighed. Even if it is something that is not exclusively weighed, as long as it's sometimes weighed, or I should say specifically weighed where you are living, then you could use that material to satisfy your obligation. I'm gonna pop off. Ba'astra de takli shikhmi, pater nafshi afila b'shikhmi. So I'll say, Papa says, in a place where they weigh, Rashi says, shikhmi are bitzalim, onions. In a place where they weigh onions, you could even use onions to go ahead and satisfy your obligation. So the Gemara says, Pshita, that's obvious. Lo tzricha de basar de shakli, shadu tre tlasa. I will say, here's the difference. Often when you go ahead and you purchase onions, even if you're buying onions by weight, it's common for the merchant to throw in like two or three extra onions. So I might have thought that because of that, halacha lemaisa, it's not really called being sold by weight. Whereas since the merchant himself is not so makbid on the weight, he's going to throw in a couple of extra onions. Maybe onions are something that are not called an item that are weighed, to which the Gemara says, Ma'od Tema, Batal Torah's Mishkal, because he throws in some extra merchandise, even after the merchandise is weighed, I might have thought that onions is not something that is weighed. Kamashlan, that's not the case. Kamashlan, that even onions are considered to be something that is weighed, and therefore even that material, even those items, can be used to satisfy the neder. So both say, that is indeed the halacha lemaisa. Maisa bi'ima shayir matya. So let's remember again, then, so both say, remember the flaw of the Mishnah. So now, based on what we just learned, what the Mishnah means is like this. If a person says, I hereby pledge my weight in gold, they have to pay it in gold. If they said, I pledge my weight in silver, they have to pay it in silver. Then the Gemara tells a story of the mother of Yermatya. Now, I will say, what Yermatya's mother said is, Mishkal biti alai. She said, I hereby pledge the weight of my daughter. What didn't she say? what, with what. She did not indicate what material she was going to go ahead and satisfy that obligation with. And then the Mishnah says, and she paid it off in gold. So says the Gemara, my solicitor, I don't understand, is the story coming to contradict that which we just said before? I was about to say, what the story seems to indicate is that she didn't obligate herself in gold, yet she had to pay gold. But that's not what we learned in the first statement of the Mishnah. The first statement of the Mishnah says, you're only obligated in gold if what? If you articulate gold. Well, she didn't articulate gold, so why is she paying off in gold? To which the Gemara says, Chisrei Mechsra V'Hachi Katani. Indeed, there is a piece missing from the Mishnah, and here is what is written. Im Adam Chashavu, Af Agav Delo Parish, Lefi Kavodo, Amdinon. It's changed Amdinon. I will say that if a person is an Adam Chashav, someone very important, then even if they did not particularly articulate which type of material they're going to pay off their obligation with, we assess them in accordance with their heightened standing. The Gemara tells a story. Umaisa be'ima shal Yirmatya sha'amra mishkal biti alai. Because there's a story with the mother of Yirmatya who's pledged the weight of her daughter. Va'osal Yerushalayim v'shakluha v'nasna mishkal azal. So we'll say, Enachinami, the halacha that we just said before, that in general you have the right to articulate what type of material. And if you don't articulate the type of material, then you can pay whatever you want. That's assuming you're not an Adam Chashav. If you're an Adam Chashav, someone very important, then halacha lemaisa, we objectively assess you in accordance with your standing and means. V'haraya, the mother of Yirmatya just pledged her daughter's weight to the Beis HaMikdash. She shows up at the Beis HaMikdash and they assess her to pay in gold. Why? Because that was in accordance with her standing. Good. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Let's say we go right there. Excuse me. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Ha'omer, komasi alai. I will say, interesting case. But now we're going to use different types of lashonas, right? Remember again, we started out with a statement of mishkali alai. I hereby pledge my weight. So my weight is a pretty objective statement. I mean, it's a subjective statement, but it's objectively understandable. We're going to now deal with some other lashonos, which are just a bit more ambiguous, and to try to figure out what to do with them. Amar Rav Yehuda, Omer komasi alai. But we'll say a person says, koma literally means height or stature. Right? The person says, I hereby pledge my height, my stature, to the Beis HaMikdash. So what's the halacha? No saint sharvit she'eno nichbaf. Nichfaf. So we'll say, if you look at Rashi, by the way, the Rabbeinu Gershom. Rabbeinu Gershom is on the bottom right-hand corner of the page. If you look in the second set of wide lines, actually, to make it a little simpler, six lines are from the bottom of Rabbeinu Gershom. He writes, Komasi alai kilomar, losis shir komasi shal kesef al shazav lahekdish. Person pledges their height or their stature in gold or in silver to the Beis HaMikdash. No saint sharvit. You give a staff. Rashi says over here, excuse me, Rabbeinu Gershom says, Shal kesef av shino nichbach me'atzmo hoyo va'amar komaso kilomar davar shiyachol l'kayim me'atzmo shino nichfav. So we'll say, what does he have to do? He has to give a staff of silver that is the equivalent of his height, of his stature, that is unbendable. Koma, a stature, means not just simply a height, but an unbendable height. So you have to give a thick silver staff, the size, the height, your height, that is unbendable to the Beis HaMikdash, or the value. Obviously, you don't have to give the staff itself, but you would have to give the value of that type of staff. Malo komasi. So what happens if a person says, my full height, or my full stature? So what's the halacha? No sin sharvet hanichbav. You give the same height of the staff, but this staff could be bendable, right? This staff doesn't have to be solid, doesn't have to be stiff. So we'll say, so the logic over here, if you look at it, again, the Rabbeinu Gershom, Mole komasi no sin sarv nechvav kilomar, kevan damar melo, komasi bilvat shehe aruch komosi kamar afilu daka. The lashon of melo means my complete height, my complete stature, indicates that the hakpada, what he's really being makpid over here, is the height and not necessarily, again, the firmness of the stature. Therefore, you could give the value of a silver staff, but the staff doesn't have to be something that is stiff. It could be even the type of staff which could bend, which would obviously be less expensive. Meisei, is that true? After all, the Brisa says, komasi alai, mole komasi alai, no sin sharvet shel nechbav. Whether a person says my height or my full height, he gives the value of a silver staff that cannot be bent. So the Gemara says, so what's going on over here? So Rabbi Yehuda holds, who Amar Rabbi Akiva? So Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Akiva. What does Rabbi Akiva say? The Dayik Lishna Yisera. Let's say Rabbi Akiva says that essentially, whenever you say something extra that doesn't have to be said, we understand that you're trying to convey something additional. This none. Well, so isn't this interesting case? Loas habar veloas hados. Afa pisha kasav umka veroma. Vitzarech likach lo derech divrei Rabbi Akiva. So if you look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here, loas habar. Hamukhras habayis lamachras habar. Very interesting halacha. In general, if you sell a home, we'll say so. A home includes the house, obviously the property, does not include any pits or cisterns. Pits or cisterns are not included in the sale of the home, Rashi says. Fine. So what's the halacha? Not only that, Rabbi Kiva says that halacha lamaisa, even though the seller maintained the pits and the cisterns, nevertheless, halacha lamaisa, he must buy back, the seller must buy back a pathway. In other words, I will say, here's one problem. I sell my house to Reuven, right? And that includes the house, that includes the fields. It doesn't include the pit and the cisterns. I sell the pit and the cistern. That's my only problem. That's my only problem is access. How do I get there? Tutra Yakiva says you have to buy back, you have to buy back access to the pit and the cistern. Rashi says, Vitzarech, Mocher Likach lo derech min halokeach, Lelich baba osa barbados, Shari kalakarka mocher lo velo shir, Desfirle mocher ba'ayin yafa mocher. Vayvacham v'cham say, Eino tzarech. The Chachamim say, no, you don't have to buy back a path. The Chachamim Rabbo say, assume that since you're retaining the pit and the cistern, by definition, what else do you retain? A pathway to your pit and your cistern. Meaning retaining the pit and the cistern is meaningless if you don't have the ability to access it. So they hold that it's understood in the sale that you are retaining for yourself not only the pit and the cistern, but a pathway. Umode Rabbi Akiva bizman shamar lo chutz me'elu shein tzarech likach lo derech. Also listen to this. Rabbi Akiva holds that if a person explicitly said, I'm selling you my home, with the exception of the bar and the dus, the pit and the cistern, even Rabbi Akiva will agree that what? You do not have to buy back an access road because it's included in the sale. I will say, so what's happening over here? You see, the Lashon of Chutz Me'elu is extra. You don't, when you're selling your home, you don't have to say that the sale excludes the pit and the cistern. That's the default. That's the default. The fact that the person is saying, I'm selling you my home, excluding the pit and the cistern, indicates, according to Rabbi Akiva, that what? That he's excluding something else from the sale. What else is he excluding from the sale? The pathway to the pit and the cistern. So what do you see from here? That according to Rabbi Akiva, whenever you go ahead and you say something extra and unnecessary, you are coming to include something else. Alma, kevan de lo tzarech de ka'amar, litafuye milsa ka'asi. Therefore, halacha lemaisa, whenever you say something additional that is unnecessary, you are coming to include something additional. Therefore, Avosai, again, the logic over here is, this is Rabbi Huda's logic. Therefore, Rabbi Huda says like this, when you say malo kamasi, or malo kamasi, instead of just komasi, you're coming to include something else. The word malo is extra. So what is malo coming to include? Whereas kamasi means a stiff staff of silver, the full measure of my height or my stature. Melo kamasi ultimately means what? The full height, but it does not have to be stiff. It's possible to be bendable. Good. Hachanami kevan de lo tzarech v'kamar lo tefoi milsakasi. Good. Ibailahu. Omdi mahu. Well, so what happens if a person pledges, right? Omdi. Omdi means my standing, right? Rashi says, "Mi have a mashma sharvit komasa olo." Is omdi the same thing as komasi or not? Or amud beis, a person says, "Rochbo, I pledge my width; yeshiva so, my sitting; ovyav, my thickness; hekifo, my circumference." I will say, what happens if a person says these lashonos? What's the status? Teku. I say the Gemara is not exactly sure what to do with these particular statements in terms of your commitment to the Beis HaMikdash. Good. Mishkal Yadiyah. I suppose remember again, the Mishnah spoke about what happens if a person pledges the weight of their arm. So remember again, Abbas, we had a fundamental machlokes. Ultimately, again, how to measure that weight. Machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Right, machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi. So here we go. The Gemara is going to restate it. Tan Rabbanon, Mishkal Yadi u'Mishkal Ragli, Alai. We'll say, what happens if a person says, I hereby pledge the weight of my arm or the weight of my foot to the Beis HaMikdash. So we'll say, so what is the halacha? Rabbi Huda says, Rabbi Huda is takes the barrel approach. Mevi chavis umemale mayim. I go ahead and I bring a barrel filled with water. Umachnis biyad ad ha'atzil. And you insert the arm up until the armpit. Atzil literally means the armpit. Uberegel ad ha'akuva. And with your foot, again, same thing with the foot, you insert it up until the knee. So the arm until the armpit, the foot until the knee. And what happens? Well, say you displace the water. Then what do you do? V'shokel basar chamar, gidim v'atzamos, v'nosein l'socha atche tismale. And then you go ahead and you take an amount of donkey flesh, and that's included with flesh, sinews, bones. You put it in the barrel until you bring back the water level to what it was. And what happens? And then Rabbi will say, now you understand, based on that weight of meat, that is going to be the weight of your arm, that is going to be the weight of your leg. Why donkey meat? And even though, again, Rabbi will say, the truth is, there's no per se raya or explicit halacha, there's a zecher, which means there's a scriptural allusion. Shene emar, asher basar chamorim bisaram. What says the pasuk in Yecheskel? Says actually referring to the Mitzrim, that their flesh was like the flesh of donkeys. So ultimately, again, you see a comparison between human flesh and donkey flesh. Good. Amorli Rabbi Yossi. So we'll say this is Rabbi Yehuda's. This is Rabbi Yehuda's mechanism for determining the weight of the arm and the weight of the leg. Rabbi Yossi comes along. Amorli Rabbi Yossi. Heich efshar lechavim baser keneged baser, gidim keneged gidim, atzamos keneged atzamos. So we'll say Rabbi Yossi comes along and says, I don't understand. The truth is, it's a very imprecise science. That's not going to yield you the exact weight of the arm or the exact weight of the foot. Right? Literally what it means is, how can you ensure that the flesh is the same, that the mass of the flesh, of the bones, of the tissues, of the sinews. So what Rabbi Yossi essentially is saying is, that's an imprecise measurement. Amar le Rabbi Huda, omdin. Rabbi Huda says, you're right. I'm not disagreeing with you. This doesn't yield an exact measurement, but it yields, omdin. Rabbi will say, omdin means what? An assessment, right? Oh, not an assessment. An estimation, thank you. It's an estimate. It's an estimate. Amar le Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi says, okay, I'm in agreement with you, it's an estimate. But after you're really just arriving at an estimate, ad sha'omdin yamodu esayad. Rabbi Yossi says, so then if we're just estimating, I'll save you some time and some effort, and there's no need to go through this whole barrel thing, right? Just find some other easier way of estimating, either by sight or by taking the limb in your hand somehow, some way. But again, you don't have to do the whole barrel thing. So Yossi is actually quite amazing. Rabbi Huda, kama de'efshar avdinan. Rabbi Huda says, you're right, this is estimating, but even in the world of estimation, you still have to try to do your best. We'll say, so this is really like an incredible, incredible fundamental life machlokis over here as well. That what happens when you know that what it is that you have to do has no possibility of perfection. So we'll say, Rabbi Huda essentially teaches us, which is how we paskin, that halacha l'maisa, you try the best given the circumstances you have. Even though at the end of the day, I know the result will be highly imperfect. And the result will just be an estimate, right, of what it should be. Nevertheless, halacha l'maisa, in life, you just have to try to the best of your abilities. Rabbi Yossi essentially says, once you know it's an estimate, don't even attempt this whole thing. What you supposed to understand, what Rabbi Huda says is like this, Rabbi Yossi, I'm agreeing it's an estimate, but don't you agree that if you try my approach, you'll get a little bit closer to the MS than if you don't try it at all? So Rabbi Yossi doesn't respond to this. Rabbi Yossi says, come on, cut it out. Once you're estimating, just let's keep life easy. Rabbi Huda says, even in the world of estimate, right? Ultimately, you try your best to arrive at the real answer. You try your best to arrive as close to perfect as possible, recognizing that you're not going to get there, but understanding that you still must try. An incredible, incredible yisod. Viad. Ad ha'atzil, so we'll say, is that true that for measuring the weight of the arm, we insert the arm up until the armpit? Is that true? Or minu, so understand what's happening over here. So when we say that you insert the arm until the armpit, okay, in the Mishnah it was until the shoulder. Same basic idea. I will say, but understand, what is a person saying? A person is making a statement. They're saying, Mishkal yadi alai. The Mishkal, the weight of my yad. So we'll say, understand, what is the Mishnah doing? The Mishnah doesn't even talk it out, but it's on the... So what did the Mishnah just do? It gave us a definition of what? Of yad, right? Of yad. That the Mishnah is teaching you that yad, although we normally translate yad as what? As a hand. Yad doesn't mean hand. Yad means from my hand up until my shoulder armpit. That this is my yad. So the Gemara says, is that true? Or the Gemara says, or minu, biyad ad ha'atzil, is that true that the definition of a yad, excuse me, is until the armpit or until the shoulder? Or minu, I'm going to raise the kasha. Kidu shadayim raglayim b'mikdash ad ha'berak. I will say, when the kohen comes to the Beis HaMikdash to wash his hands and feet, there's kiddush and raglayim, sanctification of hands and feet. Where does the kohen have to wash his hands until, his yad until? Until the wrist. So I will say, what does this seem to indicate to us? That the definition of the hand doesn't extend up until the armpit, but it extends ultimately until the wrist, to which the Gemara says, you're right. Doraisa adaprak. Midoraisa, the definition of a hand, or definition of a yad, I should say, is until the wrist. So the Gemara says, Doraisa adaprak. Benedarim halach achar loshom bene adam. Both say, when Nedarim, and we find this concept in many different places, by Nedarim, we go after the vernacular. And when people speak about a yad, what are they talking about? The entire arm. Yad in the vernacular means the arm. Midda'oraisa, yad means the hand. Right? Yad means the hand, up until the wrist. Right? In the vernacular, in the darim, yad means the arm in its entirety. So the Gemara says, is that true? Udda'oraisa adaprak, is that true that midda'oraisa, biblically speaking, the hand is only until the wrist? Vaha gabi tefillin. And we'll say when it comes to tefillin, d'chsiv yadcha, the pasuk says you have to place tefillin on your yad. And how do we dash in the Tana debay Menashe, yadcha zuki bores. We'll say the yad is the bicep. Right? Where do you have to put the bias? You put the bias on the bicep. So we'll say, so daraisa kiboras. You're right. Midaraisa yad means up until the bicep. The Gemara says kiboras kula, and we'll say when we say kiboras kula, really again that takes you into the close enough to the armpit region as well. That this is not a steer to what we said before. Benedarim halach achar loshon bnei adam, and by nedarim when a person says mishkal yadi alai, so we go after the vernacular, and when people speak about a yad, they're really referring to the arm in its entirety. What about kiddush adayim raglayim, where we said that yad over there just means up until the wrist? The kiddush adayim raglayim b'mikdash hilchasa gemirila. And I will say when it comes to sanctification of the hands and feet, the fact that we only do it to the wrist, that is a halacha l'moshe misinai. Halacha l'moshe, as we'll say, so it turns out something very interesting. So it turns out that midda oraisa, the definition ultimately again of the arm, of a yad, seems to go in two different directions. According to one possibility, so let's go with the last approach. Midaraisa, the definition of a yad is what? Up until the bicep. Then what happens? Yet when we go ahead when a person says mishkal yadi alai, we go after the vernacular. The vernacular is what? Up until the armpit or the shoulder. And I will say, what about kiddush adayim raglayim? That's halacha l'moshe misinai, that is only until the wrist. Okay, so says the Gemara. Beregel, so now let's focus on the foot. Beregel ad arkuva, when it comes to the foot, the definition of a foot is until the knee. So we'll say, so really again, see, we have to redefine our definition a little bit. When it comes to nedarim, you see, again, we normally translate yad as hand. It turns out that by nedarim, the vernacular says yad is the arm. Regel is really the foot/leg, not just the foot. So the Gemara says, "Beregel ad arkuva." So therefore, again, if a person pledges his regal, the weight of his regal to the Beis HaMikdash, that's the weight of the foot and the leg up until the knee, or minu. Gemara is the kasha. Regalim, we'll say, when referring to the Yom Tov, the Torah calls them regalim. Right? There are three regalim. What do we learn from here? Why does the Torah call it regalim? Prat leba'alei kabin. And we'll say, it comes to go ahead and exclude ba'alei kabin. If you look at Rashi, Rashi is ba'alei kabin. Mishenechtach raglo beperek rishon samach l'shoko. V'choke kav mekabel kesisin. V'nosin shoko l'socho. Korin, whatever that is, word. Shepater mehari'iyah. De'in lo regel. Amalo mikri regel ela ad perak alif shikormav. So let's listen to this. So interesting halacha. Let's say a person is missing their foot and has a prosthetic. So the halacha is such a person is pater from aliyah l'regel. Why? Because lashon of regel is raglayim, regalim, raglayim, meaning that you have feet to be able to walk up to the Beis HaMikdash. If you are missing one of your feet, then halacha l'maisa, you are pater from aliyah l'regel. But I will say, for our purposes, what do you see? That what's the definition of regel? Definition of regel is a foot. A foot, not a foot and a leg up until the knee, but by definition, a foot, to which the Gemara says, you're right, b'nedarim halach achar lashom b'nei adam. Midda araisa, Rabbo say, the regel seems to be a foot up until the ankle. That's the definition of a regel, midda araisa. By nedarim, we follow the vernacular, and in the vernacular, regel means from the foot up until the knee. The Gemara says, v'halach alashom b'nei araisa, prat l'bali kabin. Rabbo say, so bali kabin literally means, what Rashi is saying over here is someone who wears a prosthetic, right? Someone ultimately, again, who has like a stump by the ankle, and that stump is inserted ultimately into the prosthetic. So the Gemara says, is that true? That you're telling me, midda oraisa, the definition of a regel is just the foot up until the ankle. And therefore, first, it's someone who's missing a foot. V'hagabe chalitza. What about by chalitza, I will say? What happens by chalitza? V'chsiv raglo. Right? The pasuk says, V'niksha yevinto eilav leinei azekenim v'cholza na'alo me'al raglo. Pasuk says that the Yavama will take off the shum me'al raglo from the foot of the Yavam. V'tana cholza min ha'arkuva ulemata chalitza sekshera. And yet Rabbi say we learned that what? That halacha lemaisa, if she did chalitza from the knee and below, the chalitza is kosher. I will say, what does it mean from the knee and below? Listen to this. Look at Rashi. Chalitza, lemi shenechtach regel v'nishtayir bo kitzas min ha'arkuva ulamata. Chalitza se ksheira. Alma ad arkuva regel. Listen to this. Let's say the brother is missing his legs, missing his feet, but he has a little bit of a stump below the knee, and he has some type of shoe that's attached there. So if she were to take off that shoe, that's called chalitza. That's called chalitza. Now we'll say, chalitza is daraisa. And what do you see over here? You see, remember, what did we just said before? We just said before that midaraisa, what's the definition of regel? Midaraisa? The foot. Right? And only benedarim ha'alach achalashim and adam. Vernacular means the whole leg. Here we'll say, remember again, chalitza is daraisa. And we see that we're using a definition ultimately of below the knee to refer to regel as well. So you see that midaraisa, ultimately, again, the regel is below the knee as well. And I will say, the Rashi points out, not only is that contradictory, but that also poses a halachic problem. Because now what that means, according to this drasha, even someone who is missing his feet, but has something below the knee, would be chayiv in aliyah l'regel. To which the Gemara says, shiny hasam. No, chalitza is different. Why? What does chalitza? Because why chalitza? What does it say? The Amar Kra me'al raglo. They both say the Torah uses lashon me'al raglo. Me'al raglo literally means the way the Gemara is understanding it over here means even above his foot. Rashi says me'al raglo mashma malsha al raglo dahenu shok adar kuva. Me'al raglo, the Gemara understands to mean even that which is above the foot. What's above the foot? What's above the foot? The leg up until the knee. So lashon me'al raglo indicates that as long as chalitza is done somewhere between the foot and the knee, we're good to go. Ihachi lemala me'arkuva nami. If that's the case, then why stop it at the knee? Right? Why not say that me'al raglo means even above the knee? To which the Gemara says, me'al velo me'al de me'al. Because we'll say it means from above the foot, and that's from something that is above that which is above the foot. So if looking at the leg at three different parts, you'll have the foot, the leg, and the thigh, which is above the knee. So ultimately, mi'araglo teaches me that even that part that is above the foot, i.e. the leg, up until the knee, is still a usable place for chalitza. But that which is me'al de me'al, that which is above, that which is above, i.e. the thigh above the knee, will not be usable for chalitza. Shmamina, we learn from here a very important halacha. Hai isturia, ad ar nochis. And it was the way we look at the ankle, is that the ankle, we look at the ankle as a solid bone structure that extends all the way down to the bottom of the foot. That I will say, we don't look at the ankle as a bone that is separate from the rest of the bones of the foot, but rather we look at the ankle as fusing together with the bottom bone structure of the foot to create one comprehensive bone structure. Why is that? The sakadaitcha mifsak pasik havile istaria me'al v'shoka me'al de'me'al. Because if not, then you'd have to say that what? That there's the regal. If the ankle was separate than the foot, then the ankle itself would be me'al, and then the leg would be me'al de'me'al, which would mean that chalitza cannot be done on the leg. The fact that chalitza can be done on the leg indicates to us that what? That Allah Chalamai said the ankle is considered to be a chalek of the rest of the bone structure of the foot to create one comprehensive bone unit. Ravashi says, "Afilu tema mifsak pasik, even if it's not considered to be one comprehensive bone structure, called the behadi kara kikara dami. Ultimately, again, that which is directly above the foot can be considered to be part of the foot itself." Good. I will say that concludes that sugya. Incredible, incredible sugya. Mishnah, I will say let's at least begin the next part. We'll say if a person pledges the value of his hands. Remember again, before we were dealing with the weight. Now we're dealing with the value of the hand. So what's the halacha? Shamin oso kamu shava biyad ubelo yad. We assess how much is this person worth with his hand, how much is he worth without his hand, and I will say that difference is what he will pay. That difference represents the value of his hand. And I will say this ultimately again represents a chumrah of nedarim over erchin. How so? If a person says, I pledge the erech of my arm to the Beis HaMikdash, what do they have to pay? Nothing. That statement is meaningless. Remember again, if you pledge a non-essential part of the body, an erchin, that statement is meaningless. Yet, when it comes to damim vows, when it comes to value vows, if you pledge the value of your arm does have a value. Your value of your arm is the difference for which you, if you were a slave, you would be sold with an arm, versus if you didn't have an arm. That difference represents the value of your arm. Says the Gemara, Hechi Shaminale, how do we actively assess this? Amarava Umdin Oso Omid Shal Nezikin. The truth is we use the same assessment mechanism as damages. Rashi says, Umdin Shal's Omid Shal Nezikin, Kimosha Umdin Adam Shekita Lo Richabero Yodo, Shaman Oso Kevranim Kabashu, Kamahu Yafakad, Kodam Lachin, the Kamu Yafashu. So we assess it like, damages. Now, damages are multifaceted payments, but on the most basic level, when assessing the value of a limb, we look how much would a slave get if he had two arms versus how much would he have if he had one arm, to which the Gemara says, Amla Abaye Mi Dami, how can you compare it? Hasam Gavra Zeluhu. So we'll say, actually, you know what? We'll stop over here for today with Amla Abaye. I'll share with you a short idea on the parasha.